You're listening to the Youth Crit Podcast on KHZ Network. Find us on Facebook at DecibelUNG Radio and find us on Twitter at DecibelUNG. If you like this episode, please leave a like and comment on our iTunes page at KHZ Network. And now for the podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Youth Critic Reacts. This is episode 4, and we are going to be talking about the first weekend of Atlanta Film Festival, and then we're going to go into life. So to start things off, I'm going to talk about the first movie I saw at the Atlanta Film Festival on Friday, March 24th. I saw Dave Made a Maze. It was the opening night premiere for the Atlanta Film Festival, and I think they started the festival pretty nicely with this movie. For those who don't know, since it's a movie that's not really widely available and will still be on the festival circuit probably till the end of the year, Dave Made a Maze is a film that's about a 30-year-old something who decided one weekend to build an elaborate maze in his entire apartment that somehow comes to life and becomes essentially a labyrinth of cardboard magic and puppetry and all sorts of cardboard hijinks. First of all, I thought the movie was very well done. I thought the characters were very well done. I thought the actors were good. But really where the movie is that it's his creativity. For a low budget, they built, you know, little sets that were cardboard, and they would just have like a small crew just filming the actors going through it, and of course the cardboard can only stand still for like 2 or 3 hours, so they had limited amounts of times with each set, and they just had to keep buying more and more refrigerator boxes to keep, you know, moving the production along. So for me, I thought it was very, very well done, very good filmmaking, and very, very well done. And I thought the way they did all the special effects were very good. Very, a lot of in-camera stuff, very little CGI. It was a very low-budget movie. I don't know the exact budget, but the film itself was pretty... you can tell that the movie was not made for maybe more than a couple hundred grand, but they still made good use of the cardboard boxes and in the sets, it's just a really good quality film. And I don't know, really, and to be honest, half of the movies that are shown at the Atlanta Film Festival are still looking for distribution or haven't made distribution deals, or maybe like in the talks of doing distribution deals. So I don't know when anyone will see Dave Made a Maze, but I'll keep you all in the know. And for my rating, I give it a B+. It's a short movie, but I wasn't completely moved by it. Maybe when I'm in my 30s, like the characters themselves, I'll be more invested. But overall, I thought it was a very good way to open the festival and very unique kind of movie. Just a really, really unique kind of movie. Very interesting. So I skipped Saturday at the Atlanta Film Festival. I was visiting some folks. Whenever the Atlanta Film Festival happens, I kind of get roped into visiting my folks in the mountains. You know, that's usually when they plan it. It's just unfortunate, and it also ties into the Atlanta. And also, the Atlanta Film Festival also happens, so I have to kind of do one day with them, or one day at the festival, and then rinse, lather, repeat. So I skipped Saturday, but on Sunday I went to the puppet shows, and pretty much this was my first time going to the Puppet Shorts. And what they are is they're shorts made by very talented people where they just, you know, film puppets being strung up. And it's really interesting. And some of my favorite movies, hang on, I'll pull it up here just for a second. But I will say there was one, I'm looking it up right now. Dang it, no, I should have prepared for this a little better. Hang on, Unstrung Heroes. There were a couple really good ones that I will mention. Let me see. Rain. There's a little short called Rain, where it's a bedtime story about a rich man who is living in a world full of, you know, smog and zero rain. It's basically dark all the time, and he wants to go visit the sunlight, and he treats everyone terribly. And at the end, he is thrown off the cliff to his death. And it's a really good story, very well done. I mean, there's some short ones, like The Owl and the Lemming, that was really good. And then there was Lucky Chicken, that was very well done. And then the first one they showed us, Loren, the robot... No, wait. Ropes in Life was very well done, and it was actually my favorite of the shorts they did. So the first one was my favorite, and I really enjoyed it. So I skipped a 2 o'clock showing because there really wasn't anything that just sounded amazing to me from looking at the synopsis. Because unfortunately, at the Atlanta Film Festival, at the Atlanta Film Festival, you don't get a lot of marketing. You basically get a title, a photo of the movie, or a still shot of the movie, and then a synopsis, and then you get to know the length. And so nothing in the 2 o'clock stuff was really interesting, so I went and saw Life. So I will talk about that for just a second. So I went to Life at the AMC North Dakota Mall 16, where they have very very, very cheap matinee prices. I think it's like $4.25 or $4.27 for a matinee, which is really cheap compared to the Atlanta Phipps Plaza, which is like almost $15 for a matinee. So I thoroughly enjoyed. It was my second time going because I don't live in Atlanta or in the Decatur area. But I've always kind of admired the theater itself, even though it's not in a really great mall. I always admire the theater because it always had really good sound and really good picture. And for me, I can kind of forgive a lot if your movie just has really good sound and really good picture. I can forgive a lot of things in your theater. So watching Life, I will say without going into spoilers, it's surprisingly dull, but it's still also at the same time well made. And what I mean dull is because of how the movie is written and because of how the movie is structured in that it is a slasher movie in space. And that's literally what it is. I mean, it's a combination of Alien mixed with Gravity. And I mean, also someone pointed out there was some, I think it was Your Movie Sucks. He pointed out that there was also some references to Sunshine. I didn't see the references there or homages or ripoffs there. But Life for me, I thought was kind of just, I don't know, it didn't really do much for me. I mean, I'll admit this, technically it's a well-made movie. And David Espinosa really knows how to effectively make a thriller. Like, he knows how to effectively make a space thriller. And more surprisingly is that I found out, you know, about last week that the movie was shot and edited. Like, they started filming in mid-July of last year, ended around the first week of October. And they just finished the movie just before premiering at South by Southwest last week or a couple weekends ago. So for me, I was very impressed by life in that on that aspect that it was shot and edited within 8 months. So I was, especially given that they were rushing to beat Alien Covenant because they knew that it was that the two movies were going to be very similar to each other. Even though I think Alien Covenant looks like it'll probably be the more interesting movie. So really overall, so going back to life, the biggest thing about the movie for me and the reason why it kind of gets dull is because the alien itself is very indestructible. Like there's nothing they can really do to the alien that they haven't tried by the end of the first act. They couldn't penetrate it. They can't burn it. They can't, and that's really all they can do because they can't really, they didn't really prepare to bring weapon, they didn't prepare to fight an alien life on ship, so they don't have a huge means of weaponry by their side. So really all they can do is either, you know, starve it or suck out its oxygen or try and blast it off to space. And somehow in every attempt to do that, they really fuck it up. I mean, it's amazing how much they screw up in this movie and basically cause more lives to be killed. I mean, and this is a minor spoiler, but the first death scene in the movie after the guy, and it's in the teaser a little bit, in the trailer a bit, but the guy has his hand broken and mangled by the alien creature, and then it finally lets go, and he passes out from his hand, basically from the sheer shock and pain of it. And he's just floating there, and everyone's just, like, watching the alien just try and escape. And once it finally escapes, someone finally just goes in and gets the alien and gets the person out, even though the alien is still, like, it's consuming a rat. And then the person gets, you know, stuck with this alien on his leg, and it basically kills him. Or her, I shouldn't say, kills them, and it was a pretty dumb decision made by the astronauts. And I know it's supposed to be a slasher movie in space where all the characters make dumb decisions so the aliens could kill them, but I don't know, I've always felt like, as a fan of smart characters, I've always felt like that was dumb writing to get the characters to be dumb and not think illogically, especially when in real life, they would have just left the guy who passed out in shock, mangled in the quarantine area with the alien, you know, leaving them to die just so they don't, you know, all get eaten by the alien or all get hurt, killed by the alien. And also so the alien doesn't go anywhere outside the ship to where it could, you know, fly to Earth if it's a hostile threat. So I mean that's, you know, and also in that same scene too, is that there's all these different like little airways to where the creature can go in and out of the spaceship, which is kind of ridiculous to me because in an international spaceship where the only thing keeping the characters alive is a very airtight facility in space, you would think it would be a little bit more airtighter than you see in the movie. But nope, that's not the case. So the production, the thinking in the production design and the characters being dumb and the fact that the alien is pretty indestructible, and the fact that by the end of the movie, you're just like, if you would have just, you just don't care anymore about the character surviving because they were too stupid to stop him the last two or three times already. And they got multiple more people killed. You just don't care. Like, you're just like, whatever. It's a fucking movie. Fuck. So I was not impressed with life. It's very well made. The cinematography is wonderful. The production design, like how the spaceship is designed for the alien to go in and out, is bad. But the way Nigel Phelps and his team and the art direction works, technically, it's a wonderful movie to look at. overall, I just thought life was kind of pretty dull. I wasn't really that impressed that much. I was actually even just more impressed that it was more confident than I was led on, because I thought a movie, a science fiction movie that takes place in outer space that was shot and edited within 8 months would suffer a lot from being so rushed. But no, it, you know, you couldn't tell a difference if it was shot with, if it was shot in 8 months or if it was shot in, or if it was shot and edited in 8 months or if it was shot and edited in 18 months. So I was impressed on a technical level. Everything else, no, though, I just wasn't, I didn't care that much. So I give the movie a C+. So let's move on. The other two movies I saw on Sunday, I saw No Land and No Light and No Land Between. I think that's right. I should have written these movies down. Hang on. But so anyway, the movie I'm talking about, No Light and No Land Anywhere. It's a movie about a almost 40-something year old woman who has basically prostituted herself to Los Angeles to go and find her father that left her estranged at the age of 3. And it's basically a 75-minute movie about the realism of trying to track down someone, you know, who trying to track down someone who has left you and tried to kind of make amends, find peace in it. And it's a really sad story about the reality of it. It doesn't like rely, it doesn't rely on, you know, conventions. There's not, you know, a grandiose speech. There's not a, you know, happy, you know, hug, you know, please hug me daddy moment. It's, you know, it's realistic. If, you know, and the director, Amber Seeley, does a really good job of capturing, you know, the character's emotions and capturing and making it feel as honest and gut-wrenching as possible. And I truly enjoyed the movie. The movie has outstanding performances, an outstanding performance from Gemma Bruckus. She's a British actress who is not well-known yet, but she deserves to be. She's fantastic in this movie. And I really loved... I thought she did an amazing job with the movie. So anyway, I give that movie an A-. I thought it hit. I thought it really did a fantastic job about, you know, dealing with, you know, people who are, you know, having to live a life, you know, without, you know, with estranged parents and knowing that their estranged parents moved on and had other families and then left them and all that and all that horribleness. I thought they did a wonderful job. And then the last movie that I saw at the Atlanta Film Festival, and really this was because the only other movie after this movie was just a puppet show, which if you've never been to Puppet Slam or Don't Touch the Puppet's Head, it's a really good puppet show. Again, it's run by the same committee who picked the puppet shorts at the Atlanta Film Festival. It's a really good show. I just didn't want to go to that one because I knew I was going to have to get up early for school tomorrow, so I decided not to go. Anyway, so the last movie I saw was Chi and T. It's a movie about two, I don't want to say hitmen, but just two, like, bodyguards for an Indian mafia, and by Indian I mean like their culture is Indian and Eastern Indian, and they live in Palo Alto. I think that's right, Palo Alto, California, and it's just, you know, they have to in one day find, you know, get a groom to, you know, to, you know, to a tuxedo shop to get a suit for his, you know, for his wedding, for his engagement party. And then the subplot is they have to also get him a haircut and also have to sell a huge bag of cocaine. And it's just all the nice, it's all the funny hijinks that can ensue with a crazy person who just wants to party it up before his engagement party. And it's and overall, I really, really like GNT. I mean, there's some flaws. It's definitely a movie that could have benefited in short film format in the 30 to 40 minute range. Because really the second plot, the second act of the movie, like once everything is initiated, like once you find out what the goal is, the, you know, the driving force of the film, the ultimate conflict, you're pretty much just like, okay, this could end in 15, 20 minutes. This could be 15, 20 minutes of comic gold and then another 20 minutes, 10 or 20 minutes of resolution. No, it's kind of dragged out a bit. And personally, I thought it just the second act didn't really work until the very end when there's a massive reveal. I won't reveal it for you because this movie actually does have distribution. And while there's no date on when the movie will come out on Netflix, it's got distribution on Netflix. There's no date yet. It'll be announced by the end of the month or end of April. I don't want you to spoil it because I want you to check it out. It's a wonderful movie, and there's a great twist in it that I can't reveal, but it is very well done, just very well handled, very well executed, and painfully real. It felt and painfully tragic. Like, there is, you know, an ethos to it, an ethos and a pathos, you know, to these characters that it's really shocking and very well done. While there are procedural elements to it, you know, like the good guy always will, you know, be held back because he always has to help the screw-ups in his life. But in the long run, he's a really decent guy. But overall, I thought GNT was fantastic, fantastically well done. I couldn't be more happier with this movie. And so far, I'm so glad Netflix picked it up. It's well worth your time. And while it is, you know, primarily an Indian, all Indian cast, I thought it worked. And this is perfect movie, perfect representation, and very dynamic characters. Very much really liked it. I'm giving this a B+. So that's it for what I've seen from the Atlanta Film Festival. I know it doesn't sound much, but I promise I'm going to watch more. I'm already looking forward to a couple panels and a couple movies. I can't reveal which ones I'm going to see yet because even I don't know what I'm going to see. I don't know what my schedule is. I have a lot of things happening tomorrow, and then I have life. Not the movie life, but I have life that's going to intervene and bring me home. So thanks, guys, for listening. I will be back with you. I will be back with you by the end of the week with the Power Rangers and Life podcast. And then on Friday, I might do an update on, we'll just see how many movies I see between now and then. On Friday, I might do an update on Atlanta Film Festival stuff. But anyway, that is the episode 4 of the Youth Critic Reacts, and I will be back with you. I'll be back with you by the end of the week with another episode of the Youth Critic podcast, and then that's it. Thanks, everyone. Bye.